It's a chesed and honor to be here today, as I say every week. One of the highlights of my week is to be with you and to talk Divrei Torah. And as we all know, this week's Parsha, Parshas Miketz, such a jam-packed Parsha. And we're going to do like we always do. We're going to ask a couple of questions, again, in Shabbos Chanukah. And we're going to come out with that major yesod, that major foundation point that we can bring into our lives in a very real way. The Torah tells us in Perek Mem Aleph, Pasuk Aleph, Vayihi Miketz Shenasayim Yamim, and it was at the end of 2 years, Uparo Cholein, and Paro had a dream, Vihine Omeid Haleor, and he was standing over the candle. We know last week's Parsha, Parsha's Vayeshev, Rashi brings down, right at the last Rashi of the Parsha, that Yosef was sitting in jail, and he interpreted the dreams of the Sar HaOfim, the baker, and the Sar HaMashkim. And he asked the Sar HaMashkim, you know, help me, have a good word, get me out of this jail. And because of that, Rashi brings down from the Pasuk in Tehillim, Perek Mem Pasuk, hey, Ashrei HaGever Asher Sham Hashem Miftacho, fortunate is the man who puts his reliance on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he puts his bitochon in Hashem. And Rashi brings down the famous Medrash that Yosef got an extra 2 years in jail. But it's an obvious question. What do you mean? Wasn't Yosef just doing what he was supposed to do? He was trying to get out of jail, so he asks. Fascinating. Last week's Parsha, we're introduced to Yosef, and he's on the top of the world, getting the Torah from Yaakov, getting the Ketonas Pasim, having these amazing dreams, and then at the end of the Parsha, he's sitting in jail. And this week's Parsha, Parshas Miketz, he's in the bottom. He's in jail, and all of a sudden, he starts interpreting the dreams, coming out and becoming second in command of Egypt. Amazing how he went from being to the top, to the bottom, to the bottom, to the top. How things could change so quickly. But it's amazing. Yosef is brought, and we know Paro has his dreams with the 7 fat cows and the 7 skinny cows eating it. I remember when I was in 6th grade, I was raised in Edison, New Jersey. I remember giving a Dvar Torah on Parshas Miketz, getting a Pesach Kron book. An O.E. and Rav Kamenetsky and Rav Kaufman Shul. And I think I spoke about that. I don't remember what I spoke about. I just remember as Parshas Miketz. But it's very fascinating because all the interpreters were saying all these different things, and they were saying good things. But all of a sudden comes Yosef, with the help of Hashem, obviously, and he's able to interpret it. And the question is how did Yosef, obviously he had Siyata Dishmaya, which we spoke about last week, he was able to see Hashem's hand, but how did he figure it out? How did he figure out how to interpret the dreams of Paro? Question one. Question two. A major question. You know, Yosef was in Mitzrayim. He was thrown into the pit, where it tells us in Shabbos, right in the middle of the sugya of Chanukah, v'habor reik ein bo mayim, that there was no water. He was saved because there was no water, but there was nechashim and akravim. Very interesting. Why is it found right in the middle of the three dapim, Masechet Shabbos about Chanukah? Maybe the bor was 20 amos high, just like you can't have a menorah, 20 amos. Interesting. But there's an amazing, amazing question. For 22 years, Yosef did not send a telegram to Yaakov. What was he waiting? Again, I was telling my bachurim that they didn't have internet back in the day. Can you imagine not having internet, not having iPhones, not having WhatsApp? But again, he could have sent him a telegram. He could have got him the word. He was second in command. Why specifically did Yosef have to do all that he needed to do? He could have just, again, maybe he knew, he didn't know if his father was maybe involved in this plan or not. Very unclear. He knew his father loved him, because every father loves his child, but still, he sent him to the brothers. The brothers throw him in the pit. My father's not looking after me. But why? Why didn't he reveal, very, again, such a difficult story, but why did he reveal himself and send a telegram to his brothers and to his father? Question two. Question three. We're in Chanukah. It's crazy. Chanukah just goes so fast, you know? Everyone, you anticipate the good things, Baruch Hashem, and then they just go so fast. Like life. And we have to take advantage. And there's so many famous questions of Hanukkah. Again, we could go on and on and on. We're not going to, because then you just turn off your recorders. But there's so many famous. We'll just name a couple, and we'll try to intertwine it. Maybe it doesn't interconnect at all. We'll be like a chillin'. But no, everything obviously is interconnected. So the question is, if you'd ask someone, like, what is the miracle of Hanukkah? Which one is it? So they'd probably tell you, because they're raised as children, that we know that there was a war with Hashmonaim, and they didn't have any shemen, and then they found the seal with the shemen, and they lit it, and then it was able to last for 8 days. However, if you look in Al Anisim, that's what the Gemara says. The Gemara tells us in Shabbos, Daf Chaf Aleph from the base, my Hanukkah, what is Hanukkah? It goes through the whole story of the Yevanim. But if you look in Al Anisim, which we've been saying, or hopefully we've been saying, if we're not we can say it now, you don't have to repeat Shimon Esrei benching, but you should obviously say it. But by Al Anisim, it's talking about the Mochama. So ask the great Maharal, the Maharal Miprag, of which one is it? Is it the Pach Shemen? Which one is the main miracle? Obviously, there's two miracles. Obviously, like, which one is it? Obviously, it's both. But there's two miracles. Which one is the main one? We'll call it 3B. We know there's a famous call. Comes along the great Pnei Yoshua, or Yeshua Falk, and he says an amazing thing. He was one of the great Achronim. And he says, you know, we have a Gemara that tells us in Pesachim Daf Ayin Tes, that tells us, Tumah Hutcher B'tzibor, that if a whole nation is Tameh, so then you are allowed to do certain things. The Gemara talks about, like, for example, everyone is Tameh. Are you allowed to offer the Karban Pesach? Normally, if you're Tameh, you're not allowed to offer the Karban Pesach. You get curries if you're impure. But as the Pnei Yeshua, we have a cloud, Tumah Hutcher B'tzibor, that if the whole nation is Tameh, so then everyone is allowed to be involved. So ask the great Pnei Yeshua, why do they need a Tahor? Why do they need a Tahor Pach Shemen? Just use the Tameh, because Tumah Hutcher B'tzibor. Even though you're impure, you're still allowed to use it as a community. And lastly, the famous question of the Beis Yosef, thousands of answers. I don't know, thousands, maybe we're exaggerating a little, but like 10. No, there's really hundreds of answers. Is that if they found the one Pach Shemen, we know that we have 8 nights of Hanukkah, so why 8? You should have 7. They found one, it lasted, but have 7. Again, so many answers. You know, you want to send me an email with all your different answers, so great, but ask the great Beis Yosef, or Yosef Cairo, the author of the Shulchan Aruch, the great Rav Smat. How is it possible? Why? Just have 7 days of Hanukkah. We found one. We found one oil that was pure. So why 8? Okay, so just chazer over. We have a lot to do, obviously, like always. But question number 1 is, how come Yosef was able to interpret the dreams and the Chartumim? The astrologers weren't able to figure it out. What was so unique about Yosef? Obviously, he had the divine intervention of the Rabbanu Shalom, but still, what was so unique how he interpreted it? Question 2 is, how come Yosef didn't reveal himself to his father? His father's in pain. He lost his son. Chas v'sholom, no one should ever know. Chas v'sholom. And why didn't he reveal? What was he waiting for? And question 3, all these questions of Hanukkah, obviously we got to connect it to Yosef. Mikes is always with Hanukkah. But which was the main miracle? Was it the Pach Shemen, finding the oil? Was it the war? We know Tumah Hutcher B'tzibor, that if the whole nation is Tameh, you're still allowed to do certain things. And why 8? It should really be 7. So what's the Yisot? So I saw a beautiful Medrash. The Rabbeinu B'chai quoted a Pirkei de Rabbi Elazar, Perek Lamed Ches, Pasuk Beis, and he says that we know that Yosef gets married. Yosef gets married. It's found in Perek Mem Aleph, Pasuk Mem Hei, Vayikra Paro Shem Yosef, Safnas Paneach. Paro calls Yosef a new name, Safnas Paneach, the person that is able to reveal all the dreams. Vayitain lo et Asnas bat Poti Perakoyim. And he gave him a wife, and her name was Asnas. Now, who is Asnas? Beautiful Medrash. First time I heard this Medrash, I saw it quoted in the Manal of Maseret Berg, quotes this beautiful Medrash. that who is Asnas? So we know in last week's Parsha, we have the whole story with Dina and the story with Shechem and Shimon HaLevi wiping out Shechem, and they're very upset what happened with Dina. And the Medrash says that this Asnas was the daughter of Dina. But Yaakov saw what happened, and he was very afraid. It was going to be very degrading, very embarrassing that this little girl came from Dina and the non-Jewish man. So Yaakov spoke to the angel Michael, and he said, I need you to go, and I need you to protect her, and I'm gonna go and give her a special necklace that says that she's from the Zera of Yaakov, and I want you to protect her. And she gets raised. She gets raised. And she's growing in the house of Potiphar. And she's Asnas. Everyone thinks it's their daughter, but it's not. She's really the daughter of Dina. And she's wearing this necklace, and she doesn't know what this necklace is, what it means. And then, when Yosef, who was the most beautiful man, everyone wanted to get married to Yosef. The Gemara tells us in Yuman Daf Lamed Hey how gorgeous he was. She went and she took this necklace and threw it at Yosef. And Yosef said, oh my gosh, I have to marry this girl. So imagine. So this girl was the niece of Yaakov. She was the niece of Yosef, the granddaughter of Yaakov. And she was such a dark, it was so dark. And she was hidden away in a bush. And she came out to being Asnas. And she went and she married Yosef. Because it was dark. And things looked bad. But look what happened came out of it. From Dina. Asnas. And she went and she got married to Yosef, Safnas Paneach. Because Yosef was able to tap in. You know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one that is, he's writing the script. And we're all the actors. We're all in this world. And we're doing our hishtadlus and we're doing what we can. And the Ribono Shel Olam is running the show. And it's so amazing how these type of events, that Dina gets married and then they hide the baby, and this is from Yosef marrying Asnas. They create together, and it's such darkness. But Yosef is a person that never gave up, like we spoke about last week. And he was given this siyata d'shmaya, that he was able to look deep. He didn't just look in the surface. He was able to obviously, Hashem gave him this special gift, but he was able to understand things deep. How is he able to interpret the dreams? How come Paro listened to him more than the Chartumim? So I heard from Meshulam Ravner in beautiful pshat. You know, how is it possible? Last week he was on the top of the world and then he was in jail at the end. And now he's in jail and he gets to the top. You know why? Because Yosef was only focused on his dreams in last week's Parsha. In this week's Parsha, he's trying to interpret other people's dreams. He's trying to help people. He's trying to look bigger. He's trying to look deeper. That's what a dream is. Yosef never settled. He said, listen, things are crazy, but I'm not. I'm going to think big. I'm going to go big. So what's pshat? How come Yosef, how come he waited so long? So there's a lot of different answers. The Ramban comes along, and the Ramban tells us, again, they're a great Ramban, from Moshe ben Nachman, 1197 to 1270. He said, you know why Yosef had to wait? Because he needed to fulfill the dreams. He looked bigger, he saw there were dreams that he even had last week, they were his dreams, but he needed to fulfill the dreams. Again, it's difficult. Who gave him the right to try to fulfill his dreams? Comes along the way to Barbanel and gives a second answer. The Barbanel was from Portugal, Rabbi Yehuda Barbanel, 1437, 1508. He was the treasurer of Portugal. He was a math genius. And he says, you know why? He wanted to give the brothers the ability to do tshuva. He wanted them to come, and that's why, and if you read in the Parsha, he gave to Binyamin. You haven't seen Binyamin, imagine. And he gives them all these great things, and he wanted to see if they're going to be jealous or not. Like the Rambam says in Barak Beis and Hilchos Tshuva, that you put someone in a situation, you want to see if they're going to really, are they going to be changed? Are they going to be different people from what happened to them before? But still, the obvious question is, what gave Yosef the ability to give to do tshuva for them? You can't do that to someone. A person has to be able to figure out to do tshuva by himself. Comes along with Hirsch, and Hirsch says something amazing, right? From Sansel Wolf Hirsch, 1808 to 1888, Frankfurt, you know, all of his sermons, he was a master orator, very against the Reform movement. Everything was in German, it was all translated into English and Hebrew. And Hirsch says, no, you know why? Yosef looked big, as we've been talking about before, and he looked for the unity. He wanted to have Klal, he wanted all the brothers. He wanted to show that although my story is crazy, although you tried killing me and destroying me, I still am able to forgive you. And I want all of you to come down to Mitzrayim, bring Yaakov, bring my father, everyone come down. And I want total unity. Because Yosef, as we've been saying, Yosef looked bigger. He wanted to look bigger than just himself. And it's amazing. We started off asking, what do you mean? Yosef, isn't it normal for Yosef to ask? But no, Yosef was on such a high level. And again, it's always this question of how much hishtadlus do I do? How much do I work hard? And how much bitachon? It's always, I remember once Herschel Schachter came to me, Maseret, and I'm not the guy that usually asks questions. Again, I'm a Rebbe, he asks questions. And I raised my hand and I said, you know, can the Rosh Hashiva tell us, you know, how to balance hishtadlus, working hard, and bitachon? And he said, I don't know. I remember that I was learning. I used to give the Chazar Shir for Rav Salvechik, and I was learning. I was actually planning to be a lawyer. You know, Rav Schechter went to public school, and I was planning to be a lawyer, and then I started getting involved in my learning, and then there was one of the Shishiva that left for a couple weeks, and they asked me to give the Shir, and then I've been giving Shir ever since. That's my Hishtadlus. But again, everyone has different levels of Hishtadlus. Everyone has to know themselves. You have to ask your Rebbe. You have to ask someone, how much hishtadlus do I do? You know, they say about the Chofetz Chaim, that he had a store, and he would work whatever hours, bring in whatever money is, didn't work extra than that, and say, no, now I have to learn, now I have to write the Mishnah Berurah, now I have to write Sefer Chofetz Chaim. And he said, I want other people to have parnasa. That was his hishtadlus. It's very fascinating, Reb Zilberstein, one of the Gedolim in Bnei Brak. So, Reb Zil, he has a lot of svarim. He has svarim Varevna, he has Svarim Achachalti, all very interesting questions that are halach l'maisa, and they go, right, a very interesting, I'm not going to give you the answer, but he says that there was a guy that had no money, so poor, he was only able to have a little money for Shabbos, and then one night he had a dream, and the dream is that he had certain numbers for a lottery, and he remembered the lottery numbers, and he was asked to Shiloh if he could cut back, because he really had no money, can he cut back on the Shabbos food, get a little less, so he could be able to buy a lottery ticket. Right? He really didn't have any means at all. And the Shiloh is relying on the lottery ticket, Hishtalus or Bitachon, very interesting. If you want the answer, email me, Yisroelbloom1, right? So, very interesting. But again, there's always this balance. But Yosef was on such a high madrigal that Yosef, just asking was too much. And again, we don't fully get it, but he was on such a high level because he was, like we're saying, he was able to tap in. He was able to see things deeper. He was able to see just a little taste, right? All Bereishis is about dreams and dreams and dreams. And you know, we need to dream bigger. Yosef was a person that said, I'm not giving up. I'm dreaming big. Right? We have Jonathan Sacks at Sal, writes in Lessons in Leadership that we need to dream more. We need to let our imagination soar. We have to realize we can accomplish more. We have to realize that we're living in a world that there is so much anti-Semitism. They're always coming at us. But we have to come together, Achdus, as a nation. Right? That's what Yosef was trying to do, according to Rav Hirsch. He wanted to get all of Klal Yisrael together. And we have to realize that. You know, you come to a Hanukkah. You know, we're getting towards the end of Hanukkah already. And the Maharal says, which is the great miracle? Which one's greater? Again, they're both great. But which one is it? Says the Maharal, amazing. You know which one it is? It's really the Mohammed. It's really the Mohammed, the war. But you know what? Hashem is afraid. That person will say, you know what? They won the war. There's always an underdog. Usually the underdog always wins, right? There's always the underdog. And that's war. That's natural. But we turn to that and say it's not true. And you know what? There's also supernatural. But the supernatural, the Pach Shemen, comes to reveal to us the natural. The Pach Shemen, which is also a great miracle, finding the oil. That reveals to us how HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the nature, right? Mother Nature, but Mother Nature has a father, the Ribono Shel Olam. And a person needs to realize that that's the Mohama. Says the Pnei Yoshua. Why is it? Toma Hotra B'tzibor. They could have just used the Tame oil. Says the Pnei Yoshua, no. Because when a person is trying to build, we're doing the Chanukah HaMizbeach, right? They're inaugurating the Beis HaMikdash. It was the second, right, in the time of the second Beis HaMikdash. They were inaugurating it. Says the Pnei Yoshua, you have to do it right. You have to do it with the best way of doing it. You're right, we could have done it with something Tame. But no, we have to dream big. We have to start the foundation the right way. The seeds. You know, I told you that about Asnas, that because the seeds were put in motion. The seeds were put in motion that even though it looks so dark, that Asnas was born. She was put in, right? It's like the sneh, Asnas. The root word is sneh. It's like Moshe Rabbeinu. He sees the sneh. And it's burning and it's not going out. Because Hashem is giving a tapping in a little, saying, I'm with you. I'm going to guide you. And it's the same thing over here about Asnas. That she was wearing the thing that said, I'm Zera Yaakov. You have to marry me. And they got married. And look, Menashe and Ephraim creating Klal Yisrael, keeping us, bringing down all the Shvatim, bringing down Yaakov. And that's the idea. The idea is that Tuma Hutra B'tzibor, we got to go for the best. We have to go for the best. And I think this is the answer to the Beis Yosef's question. Right? There's so many answers to the Beis Yosef's question. But why? Why? It should really be 7 days. So again, we know 8 is supernatural, is Shmoni Yimei Milah, is the idea of going nature 7 days, but we go above that is 8. But I think it's even more than that. Is that we have 7 days. And the 7 days show us nature, but then we have the 8th day, because there's no such thing as just nature. It's about even this, everything supernatural. You know, the Ramban writes, the end of Parshas Bo, that a person might think, you know, it's the Kriyas Yamsufs, it's the finding of the Pach Shemens, it's all these great miracles. But, you know, waking up every morning and doing what we're doing and davening, and learning, and trying to do chesed, and giving $1 a day, shout out to my father, and learning about tefillah, shout out to my uncle, Uncle G, right, and all these different things, and giving it over to the children and the grandchildren, my mother, with all, you know, giving over to the grandchildren and the children, or for the boss, and all the different things, and everyone just channeling it. So a person can say, this is just normal. This is what a person does, but it's not. A person needs to realize that this is what Hashem wants. This is supernatural, even though it looks like nature, but it's not. It's mamish a nace. A nace is a banner. You hold up that banner to show that we're Klal Yisrael. And Yosef represented this. Yosef represented that I could look bigger. You know, I have all these dreams, and dreams are coming at me. You know how I could interpret it? Because I'm going to look bigger. You know, when the Chartumim came, they said, Paro, look, all these different things about you. But Yosef said, no, you are Paro, the one, the head of Egypt. You're going to save all Egypt. Let's think about the whole nation, not just about yourself. So how come Yosef didn't tell his father? Because he wanted Achdus. He wanted Achdus and Klal Yisrael. And I think we need to realize this, that we need more Achdus. We need to be more, less judgmental, realizing we have a big mission on this world. We have to dream big. We got to think bigger. We got to set higher goals for ourselves. We have to realize we can accomplish, obviously being proud of ourselves, but realize that even if we're in the dark, we still, greatness is going to come from us. That little light, one little light, could come and just illuminate the whole world. You know, Vayevaser Yaakov Levado. The Maharal says that he was fighting with the Tsar of Esav. Levado. Lamed Beis Dalet Vav. Bad. Says the Maharal, it was oil. He went to go get the Pach Shemen. Lamed Vav. Levado. 36 candles. Because even when he was fighting with the Tsar Shel Esav, Yaakov said, it might be dark, it might be hard, but I'm going to go get the Pach Shemen. And it's going to be an illumination for Klal Yisrael when they're in the darkest times, when Yavan's coming at us. And Yavan wasn't trying to destroy us. They were trying to assimilate us. But the only way to fight against the assimilation is to strengthen ourselves in spirituality, strengthen ourselves in Torah, in mitzvos. And Bezus Hashem, this Shabbos Chanukah, Parshas Miketz, will realize, wow, we're going to dream big. Even if things are dark, we're going to fight, and we're going to become that great, great nation which we are. Everyone should have an amazing, amazing Shabbos.